talking about boxing. Just absolutely boxing. We're talking about boxing. Just absolutely boxing. Boxing. Just absolutely boxing.
All right, y'all, what's going on? Welcome back to Just Absolutely Boxing Podcast. This is episode 42. My name is Ant.
It's your boy P.
And we are back again with another live show, man. It's how we always do. You see the shirt right there, all boxing, everything. That's what we talk about over here. You see it, right, P? I'm just making sure, man.
Yeah, I see it.
Okay, yeah, I see you, you know, red jab effect. That's what's
going on. I got the throwback jab effect.
You got the throwback one already. It's a throwback one already, right?
Throwback already, man. That's how we doing it, you know what I'm saying?
Real, man, yeah. But yeah, man, today we got a few things to talk about. You know, we might jump around a little bit here. Want to talk about the AJ Parker fight last weekend. It wasn't the best fight. I think it just opened up a lot of eyes and a lot of doors, though. You know what I mean? It really got people thinking about what's Joshua's stance in the game? And is it a good one to UP? What do you think, man? Like, do you think he's just all entertainment, or do you think he is a legit heavyweight champion?
I don't want to say that because, I mean, I do like the guy, but he's more like in the entertainment WWE style to me. You know what I'm saying? It's not his fault. It's not a bad thing, but, I mean, boxers, you got warriors, you got, you know, people – blood, sweat, and tears, you know, willing to go out for this stuff. And AJ, he, you know, I don't see that killer instinct, man. You know what I mean? I don't.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, I go back and say he is a legit champion because he got the belts. But, like, as far as, like, keeping him. It don't really seem like he wants to take that hard road anymore, take the tough challenges, you know? Like, the Klitschko fight, there was already a risk there, but at the same time, he had enough in him to beat an older man, you know what I mean? Right. But as far as, like, testing that skill against, like, the younger lions, like a Wilder and Ortiz and such, he ain't really show no interest in that, right?
Yeah, I mean, and even with the Klitschko thing, okay, that was risky, but it was worth it. If I can pull us off, I'm getting these belts, you know what I'm saying? But will he have that same energy for just a tough contender defending the belt? You know what I'm saying? I don't see that, man. I don't see the killer instinct. I mean, it was clear in the Parker fight. Smaller heavyweight, you got every advantage, pretty much. I mean, reach, size, you know, the power, you know, maybe not the speed, but you couldn't stop this guy. This guy goes 12 with you. Was that the first guy that went the distance with him?
First time he went 12 rounds.
A small heavyweight goes the distance with you. It wasn't like Parker was on the bike. Wasn't like he was on the bike for 12 rounds. I mean, they was mixing it up. And you couldn't, you know, get the smaller guy out. And the guy at the job, and he was like, well, maybe he carried him. I said, well, why would you do that? What's going to look more impressive? For me to go ahead and, like they say, spark knock him out in one round or play around with him for 12 rounds, that don't make sense. The knockout is going to be more impressive. And, you know, UK fans.
Especially with a guy who lacks the skill to even go in the deep waters, you know, your thing is to knock people out, and that's what you should stick to, you know?
Right. And I mean, and just in general, and a knockout is what people want to see. They don't want to see you going 12 rounds with a smaller guy. You know, if you this big dominant champion, they want to see you doing what Mike Tyson did. He came out there and was blazing through. You know, he wasn't going 12 rounds with guys, you know what I mean? So that's what I'm saying. That's what the fans wanted to see. That's, you know, when the guy told me that maybe, you know, AJ was carrying the guy, I'm like, nah, I mean, why would he do that? That would make no sense to carry a guy, you know what I mean? The fans want to see a knockout, you know what I mean? If he could have knocked him out, he'd have knocked him out, eh? That's what the fans want to see. That's what he wanted. So, I mean, that would have been more impressive, the knockout.
And with him saying that, you know, after the fight, AJ kind of went on record to say something like, hey, he wanted to kind of go 12 rounds with this guy. But I'm like, why would you want to go 12 rounds when you know you got the power to knock somebody out like that? You know, because like we're saying, Joseph Parker, he was there to be hit. He was never running. You know, he was always in that distance where AJ could have caught him, you know. And that's my whole thing with this overall performance. Like, my question is, did AJ kind of underestimate something about Parker where he tasted something that kind of kept him at bay? Did he respect Joseph Parker's power?
I mean, I think so. And I mean, from what I saw, he definitely buzzed him with an uppercut one time.
I saw that, yeah.
His knees buckled. Nobody said nothing. None of the commentators, nobody said nothing about it, but I did people get buckled. And a few other times I've seen him hit him with something that caught his attention. You know, it didn't wobble him necessarily, but it made Wilder get on the back foot. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, back off. I mean, not Wilder, AJ, I'm sorry, but the thing about it, like I said in the previous episode, and I mean, Parker was game. He was a game capable guy, you know, and going 12 rounds, he kind of proved that, ain't? Because to me, AJ, you know, it was up to him to lay the burden of proof. I'm the big heavyweight champion. I'm the, you know, It wasn't for this small guy to come in there and say, well, I gotta, you know, do this. That would have been great. I'm sure that's what he wanted. But, you know, the burden of proof lays upon AJ to prove it. I'm the baddest man on the planet. And Saturday night, he didn't really prove shit to a lot of people, ain't?
The way we talked about it in our last episode about the fight, the level of fight this is, I still feel the same way. I still feel like, yeah, Joseph Parker, he did some things in this fight to get the respect, but it still wasn't on a level of competitiveness where it had to go 12. I saw many openers where AJ could have took it and knocked him out. You know, I saw many of those moments where he could have just jumped in and ended the fight. So I was like, why is he taking this long? You know, unless something, like we say, you saw him get rocked a few times, unless that's how he reacts whenever, you know, he's kind of scared of power himself, you know, because, you know, it happened in the Klitschko fight. So he kind of like, why, well, I ain't going to take that chance and take this hard hit and get put on my ass again. So let me just kind of ride this 12 rounds out because I'm right, kind of fearful of getting knocked out. But that just shows us, too, that if he feels that way against the lesser of the champions, Joseph Parker, it answers the question why he's not fighting Wilder. You know?
Yeah, I mean, to people who still may be confused about that, you know, but I mean, and then he was doing like another dirty tactic to AJ, how he was
referee.
Yeah, with the referee, of course. That's a whole nother story. Oh God. Oh, yeah, but how he was holding his head down and trying to hit him with the uppercut. Mm-hmm. I'm like, is he getting desperate? Is he gassing out? Why are you having to resort to that type of tactic? It wasn't like it was something the ref wouldn't see it. It was blatant. You holding his elbow and trying to hit him with this big uppercut. I'm like, little stuff like that, and I look into, because it's a sign of something. You didn't see great champions really doing stuff like that. B-Hop, he did stuff on a sly. You know, this was blatant.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? This was blatant. You know, yeah, B-Hop,
he knew how to hold the arm on the other side of the referee. The
other side. Yeah. The referee didn't
this see dude, it. You know, AJ, he was kind of like going and fight for his life mode where I don't know how to fight on the inside. Let me tie his ass up with this arm and hit him with this, you know, almost right, like he was kind of uneasy about fighting on the inside or going anywhere near the inside, you know.
It reminded me of that Tyson Fury did Cunningham, how he pretty much held his head right there and rocked him and knocked him out. You remember that fight?
Yeah, that was cold. That was a disappointing performance, man.
If that uppercut had landed, and that's what would have happened, because he was throwing that uppercut AJ had was vicious. If it had connected, it did one time, but it wasn't flush. But it was powerful, man. I would have been impressed if Parker could have stood up through that shot.
Yeah, I was kind of impressed with some things Parker did. You know, I mean, he himself wasn't really looking to find a way to dominate the fight. You know what I mean? It was like he never really committed himself to expose the holes in AJ's game. There was times when he was kind of, you know, respectful of AJ's power.
Exactly.
But that's the thing. I don't know why he didn't capitalize, because when he did connect something, he kind of got them reactions. Because you see him a few times, like he said, like there was once around seven when, you know, he did tag AJ with the right hand. AJ kind of went quick buckle mode. His little leg kind of came out from under him just a little bit, you know, and that was kind of like when the referee broke them up, which people were mm-hmm. like, you know, yeah. I heard one announcer was like, what the hell is the referee doing, you know?
Exactly. Yeah.
He was what like the hell breaking them up in the middle of, like, as soon as they get in the inside, he would not let anything happen on there in the inside, you know?
Exactly.
And to me, that's what makes makes a bad referee. When you're trying to be seen as much as the fighters, you know, a good referee, you don't know if he's in the ring.
Right.
Only when he needs to be, you know. That's why it makes me question, where were the referee? Where was his stance at, you know?
Exactly. You already know they got that good home cooking over there.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But, I mean, I do want to say, Parker, you think about this, Ant. He went 12 rounds with the baddest man in the planet. Small heavyweight. Did he look like he went 12 rounds? He had a cut from a headbutt. That was it.
Yeah.
You talking about fair-skinned people and light-skinned people, they bruise and he didn't look, I mean, that's what I'm saying. So how much of an animal is AJ? You know what I mean? That's what I'm saying. I mean, okay, Parker didn't do anything, but okay, Parker was a smaller man. He's not looked at as the baddest man on the planet. You know, all that stuff that's hanging over AJ's head that, yeah, Parker, okay, you went 12 rounds with me. Look at your face, though. You know what I'm saying? Because you shouldn't have went 12 rounds. You know, he went 12 rounds and was pretty much unscathed. I mean, Joshua wasn't busted up either, but, I mean.
It looked like neither one of them had really been in a heavyweight
fight, dude, to be honest.
Yeah.
But like I say, AJ is supposed to be the baddest man on the planet. He's supposed to be dishing out ass whoopings, man.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's just bottom line. I mean, look at Pacquiao. Look at the faces Pacquiao used to leave behind. If he didn't knock you out, he turned your face into meatloaf, right? I mean, just look at him.
He'd be breaking shit, you know. He would be breaking shit on your face, you know. And you, when you go in with Pacquiao, you knew you was in a fight with Pacquiao. But like this fight, I'm like, this is AJ, like we said, this AJ we talking about, supposed to have that power that's almost equivalent to Wilder's, but when you be in there with Wilder, you know you was in there because you leave it on your back. At the same time, if you go 12 like Stavern did, Stavern, he felt it, you know? And that's what makes me say, is AJ's power? His power might be there, but is his presence as intimidating as somebody like Wilder?
No, I'm going to tell you, his power don't match up to like his looks and his size. And, you know, you see him and see this big muscle man and you think, because look at Wilder. Wilder don't look like he got power, but he do.
He got crazy.
AJ looked like he got superpower. I mean, he got some power because he got big muscles, but it's not that AJ got something different. You know, that Triple G got something different. It's certain, like we talk about, you know, certain fighters got something a little different. You know what I'm saying? And I remember that as a kid playing. You might be boxing, you know, boom, boom, boom. And it's certain people you punch used to have a different little feel than other people. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you got them heavy hands or whatever the case may be. So, but I definitely would be questioning his power now because, I mean, you didn't drop a smaller. He didn't even drop Parker. I mean, smaller guy. And I'm just saying, I mean, people, you know, gave Floyd hell about fighting smaller guys or whatever, but every smaller guy he fought, he dominated and whipped their ass. He might not have knocked them out or busted them up, but he dominated them. You seen that a guy was in there being outclassed every time. And I mean, this AJ wasn't outclassing Parker. I didn't see, it wasn't obvious for two people who had never watched a boxing match or didn't know these guys to know who was like the, you know what I'm saying, the more dominant champion. You know, right. Both of them look the same. Neither one of them looked mad, aggressive. No, I mean, no killer instinct. It was to be honest. I'm gonna say it. A lot of people, I heard this word a lot. Boring. A lot of people said the fight was boring, and I kind of agree with that.
And that's the I don't really use that word either because like even casual fans can tell the difference between a certain fight. Like you're either dominating the fight with power or you're dominating it with skill. You know, those are the two main, I mean, there's other ways too, but those are the two main ways you see it, power and skill. And AJ, he didn't really dominate with either. You know what I mean? He wasn't really dominating with either. It was just kind of like, let's get this fight over with, you know, let's make sure I get this other belt at the same, you know, I was kind of getting that feeling like we're just going to do enough to win, but we're not really going to take too many chances because we got to make sure I get this money, you know, kind of got that feeling a little bit. Because like you see, people that say Mayweather fights are boring, that's because they don't understand skill, but he's dominating off of skill. People like Mike Tyson's fights, they like him because he's dominating with power. But both of these guys are using something. It was like this fight, I didn't really see anything, you know?
Exactly. And you took the words out of my mouth. I was just about to say that, you know, like you said, I hate to say boring, you know, because a lot of people think a high-level boxing match is boring. This wasn't a high-level boxing match, Ant. These were two high-level fighters, but the fight didn't match up to the resume. I mean, not the resumes, but the stats. You know, you look at the guy, the reach, the height, the power, the weight, all this stuff, you know, and it didn't match up. But to me, I mean, a champion, it's just like a king of a kingdom. Like, I always go back to that metaphor. I mean, he always got to be the king. I mean, he can't be, the king had an off day. Off day for the king might cost him his throne. His throne, you know, so it's like, the king always got to be a dominant figure. And, I mean, I just didn't really see a dominant figure in that fight. And, you know, I didn't see high-level boxing. I didn't see dominant figures with for the skill set. And, man, you got young guys. You know, Parker's 26. AJ's 28. It should have been action. Somebody should have been dropped. Somebody should have been something. And it didn't.
You know, that's why I was saying, like, this – you know, the stage that Joshua is in, you know, 20-0 with 20 knockouts, you know, he's supposed to be that guy that's trying to dominate and assert that type of force in the game right now. But right now, like we were saying, like he's been getting them big checks, you know, he's been getting those big checks so fast. It's almost like he's reaching that comfort zone. Like it became a job for him, you know, it just became a job. All right, I'm in there with Parker. Let's get this over with. I ain't got to take too much risk. I'm guaranteed to win. Done, you know? Which makes me think, you know, that the Wilder fight is going to, you know, it's less and less that fight look like it's going to happen to me. How about you? What do you think? What are your odds of it happening this year?
I mean, of course, first of all, if that's the mind state Anthony Joshua got, if that's very dangerous, he's playing the dangerous game because it's no safe fights at heavyweight. Anything can happen at any given time. So, you know, if you're comfortable already, you might want to definitely get the belts up, but, you know, kind of look for certain levels of fighters and stay in the UK because it's no way you can avoid having to deal with the top guys in this division if you want to wear those crowns, you know? I don't think he really, you know, he like, man, I'm good with the crowns or without the crowns. I mean, because you think about it, the belts is only good for money, you know? I mean, you know, getting on talk show, opening the doors for you, but all the doors open for him without the belts.
Yeah, AJ, he never really needed the belts to get in the door. He was already in the door.
You know, the belts was just the icing on the cake for him. Oh, this guy's an animal. He's a champion. Wow. You know, 10 years boxing. Wow, that's impressive. I mean, and he is an impressive guy for what he has accomplished in the sport. And I'm not taking that from him. But it's just like I say, once in a dog fight, you got two pit bulls. Once a pit bull don't really want to fight no more, I mean, most of the time they kill him, man, you know, because it's over.
It's over for
when
him.
A guy,
game anymore.
When the dog ain't in him, you know, I mean,
that's what I'm saying. See, at least for AJ, you know, him being a person, you know, he ain't a dog. He got the choice to say, hey, I'm holding these belts hostage. You know, let me go ahead and let the real champions have it out, you know? Because
yeah,
I mean,
but
like
you
I
know what
earlier, like what people say about AJ, you know, they calling him, you know, coward, bitch, and all of this. Like, how is that really affecting him emotionally? Like, when you got big money and all these other opportunities, how is that really hurting you? You know, is it really hurting you whenever like trolls get online and you know they put you down and all that? Like, that's not really going to affect him, you know.
I mean, if you're an egotistical person, I think it gets to you. I don't see him as being an egotistical person, you know.
Yeah, not no.
I mean, for one, but if AJ is playing with the sport, it can be the same result as him being a dog, and he could wind up dead. You know what I'm saying? Because this is the hurt business. Saying this ain't a game. This ain't nothing that you. Oh, I'm just this is a job. No, this is heavyweight. This is 100% dedication. He already got targets on his head, so it's just like if that thought is even running through his head, he need to walk away.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is not the game that you really kind of want to play around with these guys this size anyway. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because if he's having that much of a hard time deciding to take on somebody like Wilder, you know, this ain't the game for him, you know, because it's like you can make more money, like we said, being on a talk show. You can make all the money you made in boxing and a couple of talk shows, you know. So why
man,
not?
Man, he WWE, man. He would be he'll be a monster. I mean, can you realize the money he would make wrestling?
Do like George Foreman, slap your name on a grill or something. And, you know, he made more money off a grill than he did boxing.
Of course. I mean, it's the possible the opportunities are limitless for this kid, man. So you know, boxing is not necessarily his life, so to speak. Eh? You know what I mean? I mean, it's just, it is what it is. And at the end of the day, we don't really give a shit. All we care about is you representing them belts or them belts representing you. And them belts got to represent the best. And if you ain't trying to prove that you the best, then yeah, we got a problem with it. Then, you know what I mean? Then we will have to turn on him in my eyes, not boycott nothing crazy. But like I said, I like him. He's a nice guy. But if he want to try to hold these belts hostage, then it's going to get ugly because we not really rocking with nothing like that. You know, that's holding the sport back. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You know, you're doing damage on a high level doing stuff like that to me. You know what I mean? Because the fans just want to know who's the best. And there's one way to find that out.
What do you think? Some people been going on the record to say that AJ has been one of the most or he's probably the most commercial poppy boxer in history, where they were saying heavyweight. Do you believe that, man?
I think it's highly possible. I mean, in the age of social media, I mean, I see him dancing, I see him on a show with a Spice Girl, I see him in Floyd Mayweather gym, I see him with Kevin Hart, I see him in realms that, you know, we've never really seen anybody, you know, in this short amount of time. Now, we've seen Mike Tyson in a lot of realms over 20 years, though. You know what I'm saying? Yeah,
not just the matter of 2 or 3 years. Like,
yeah, in a matter of 2 or 3 years, I mean, you know, we might have to give him that, but that's a good thing. I mean, shit, you the Britney Spears of boxing? I mean, hey, I mean, really.
You can either, you know, you can either own up to it or, you know, just try to fight it. You know, there's either two things, own up to it or try to make the statement that you're not, you know, and I think he's owning up to it more so.
Yeah, he laughing though. Justin Bieber boxing, he laughing all the way to the bank, you know, and for that aspect, it's like I say, it's a tough situation that I really wouldn't want to necessarily be in his shoes, because it's like every man is a man. I know he do got some ego, some pride, some integrity, and you know, I don't think that stuff is getting to him, but he see it. Mm-hmm. He see the trolls, he hear people, hey yo, people calling him, yo, so and so, you know, he hearing this shit, and it's you know, it's like, I mean, I guess if the fans always rock with you, a difference to make, eh? That's why he needed to just go fight, because even if you lost, Joshua, the fans still going to love you over there, dude, even if you lose. So,
yeah,
you know, and the thing about it is you might win. You might win.
That's why I say, like, I really feel like there has to be a point whenever to be in the ring. It takes balls to be in the ring, you know, no matter if you call a fighter or the Britney Spears of boxing or whatever, you know, it takes some balls to get in the ring, whether you consider the tomato can or a champion. So do you feel like there is a fight that can just, do you feel like, okay, the Wilder fight, he should take it? Do you think it awakened the lion in him, man, at this point? Do you think that's the one fight that can awaken the lion in him?
Well, it's two things. And when I said the Britney Spears thing, I don't want him to take that the wrong way. I didn't mean...
Oh, I liked that. I liked it.
I meant it because people say he's poppy. She was one of the biggest, you know,
one of the biggest pop, yeah,
pop stars. So that's what I meant. I mean,
we're not calling him a girl. Yeah, of course. We just calling his, you know, his actual following is like a pop following. Yeah,
which is a beautiful thing. You know, that equates to money. But, and then for two, it's two things is going to happen, that either it's going to wake him up or he's going to get knocked out. So, I mean, and from what we seen Klitschko drop him and him get back up and come back to win that fight. But, I mean, it's like honestly, for me, I can't say nothing until I see how he responds to that right hand. Can't say nothing then, because it's looking like one right hand might drop his ass and he might not get back up. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you got small guys rocking you. You know, you've been wobbled a few times. I mean, got that, you know, it's a target up there. You ain't got
a target. Yeah, his head is a big target. So it's like, if he gets in there, and you got to imagine, like, if he is kind of fearful of Wilder, your adrenaline's not really going to be pumping to the where you're feeling the war mode, but you're going to be ready to fold. So anything,
it would
take Wilder's full power to knock him down.
You to think, oh, he done knocked me the fuck out. You ain't even knocked out, man. You on the ground. He done knocked me out. You so scared. Like,
you know, yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, you know, that's what I'm saying. Like, he never knows, you know, it could, you know, this could wake something up in him, man, you know, but.
See, I just don't see it, and I mean, for so many reasons. I mean, you know, he say, fuck it, I'm going home and I made $20 million tonight. Fuck it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's really only way something will wake up in him is if he wanted to be great. And I really don't see him, you know, this is it in a nutshell. He's not a student of the game. You never really hear him really talking about the history of the sport or some guy. You know, he was a kid. Somebody seen that he could fight. They got him in there and, you know, held his hand and walked him through all the, you know, phases of the game. And he just capitalized on something that he was good at. I mean, I look at him like I look at somebody like Shaq. When we saw Shaq, they saw him and he was a kid. He playing basketball.
Mm-hmm.
You're playing ball.
Let's be honest. There's going to be some things where your physical advantages are just going to make it easy. You don't have to work as hard as others. Like you said, Shaq just reach up, throw the ball in the goal. While somebody like Iverson, you know, he got to work a little bit harder, you know. But Deontay Wilder, again, you know, he's a guy that has to work a little bit harder. Where AJ, they probably seen him knock some people out. They said, let's tweak a few things and you look good, you look the part. Let's just tweak up your knockouts, you know, and build it up, and we can all go home rich, you know. We can even get you the belts, you know. So that's how I kind of see it. Yeah. Yeah, man. It's
right. Just like
physical advantages sometimes can just do that, though.
And I mean, and just like from day one, people start looking at you different. Like I said, Shaq was a kid and people were seeing him 12 years old. He's 6 foot. Oh, you playing back? You know what I mean? It opened doors for you at an early age. I mean, AJ been a big kid. He's huge. You know what I'm saying? So he been people. Hey, man, you want to play football? I know he had all those, you know, people come to him, you know, because of, you know, his particular stature. But He's like a Harry and Henderson. He's just like a big gentle guy. You know what I mean? He not really. I mean, ain't nothing wrong with that, you know. But like I say, we got some guys that ain't really the nicest guys. You know, they in here ready to, you know, take somebody's head off. You know, not hurt nobody in that way, but you know, that's the name of the game.
That's the name of the game, man. Yeah. But yeah, man, like I said, like if AJ was just to relinquish the belts and maybe just fight on an entertainment level, I would be good with that. Would be good with that. But at the same time, I'd be unsatisfied, man. He just built himself up too much not to fight Wilder, man. You know? Yeah. Which kind of goes into something, man. You want to talk about the Wilder interview on Breakfast Club? Like just some of the things.
Any true boxing fan saw the interview and understood where he was coming from.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody to me that, you know, took it any other way, you know, don't really understand the sport or the history of the sport or the history of trash talk or the history of, you know, just how boxers talk. You know what I'm saying? And he said nothing no different than any other boxer, you know, has said, you know, previously coming before him. And then furthermore, it's like, you know, I seen a couple articles talking about, oh, he's being investigated and all this. And I'm like, I mean, come on, man. You know, AJ. Hey, all right, you just had Canelo piss dirty and y'all was going to try to let that fight go on, but you want to investigate? I mean, it's just too much politics and, you know, certain fighters being treated different ways in the game, man. I mean, but like, you know, my say on the interview, any real boxing fan saw that and thought it was a good interview. He was honest. He was informative. And he was telling. He told a lot of things that he didn't have to really speak on the Eddie Hearn thing. He's a lot of things that were, before that interview, may have been rumors that he spoke on and, you know, was seemed truthful about, you know. So I personally thought it was a good interview. I really didn't even pay attention to that part. Mm-mm. Until people, y'all seeing it on the internet blowing up. I'm like, I ain't even pay that part of the, you know, interview no mind, because, I mean, you know, boxers, it's the hurt business, and you're going to fight somebody. We not going to play tennis or ping pong. We going to throw some hands, you know, about to lace up and throw some hands. I mean, people trying to make something not so pretty. You know what I mean? It's a sport. You know, it's controlled, but it's still a fight, man. It's still a fight. You know, and I just think it was said all in promotion or trying to smoke AJ out, trying to, you know, get the fans behind him, you know, because it's some fans that want to see him knock AJ out, you know, and there's a lot of fans want to see this fight. So I've been thinking he's just trying to get the momentum behind him. And, you know, I mean, what's he supposed to say? And I'm let AJ knock me out. What are you supposed to say, Ant? You know? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. What they want him to say.
Yeah, because to me, the interview, you know, like we said, we hardcore fans of the game. Like, for me, seeing this interview and the whole energy he was bringing, to me, everything was positive, you know? Like, I sat through the whole interview just chill, listening to what he was saying and, you know, taking to heart what he was saying. You know, he was talking about his daughter. You know, his daughter is one of the reasons why he's fighting. So I was like, yeah, this is, you know, he was really saying some real things. And, you know, like you said, to the part where he was talking about, you know, the things he said, cashing the body, like, I didn't really think of it until they, like, second-guessed it, you know, second looked at it. They had to bring it up again. And, like, that's what a fighter says. And, like, and to me, you know, we've heard worse shit. You know, we've heard worse things in boxing. So when he said that, it was just like, okay, he's got the killer instinct, you know? And that's what I just wanted to talk about a little, because, like, for a hardcore fan, like you and me, we actually can analyze and just look at how to react, you know, to this, to something like this. Because today we live in an age where everybody's so sensitive over the littlest things, you know. At the same time, you got a lot of crazy shit that's going on today. But at the same time, so many people, you could say one little thing and they take it to heart. And then you got social media, so they can just run with it and make it look bad. So, like, there's really no need to investigate what he's saying, you know, because he's just speaking what a fighter, you know, what a fighter has to think in order to, you know, win, to beat
the opponent. It's the mindset. That's what we say. And, you know, the mentality of a fighter is the hurt business. It's the killer instinct. I mean, it's part of a fighter's arsenal. You know, you have it or you don't have it, but it's definitely a plus to have it. you know, the other guy may have it, you know, and, you know, and we said killer instinct, and we just mean if a guy gets a guy hurt in the boxing ring and he's able to finish that guy, you know, or stop that guy, or just able to exert that type of energy where he's being aggressive, we don't mean, you know, killer instinct as far as, you know, really causing bodily harm. You know what I mean? I guess we want to be
careful. Really, like, when he's hurt, he's not going to do like a Mortal Kombat move and commit a fatality and finish him, really.
Exactly. You know what I mean? He say, it's one thing if you say, I'm going to catch a body, and then you go ahead and you really kill a guy that night. I mean, that could happen, but it's just like, I mean, it doesn't happen on a regular basis, you know, and when it does happen, the guy didn't come in there saying, oh, I'm gonna kill this guy tonight. A lot of guys, the one guy, I forget his name, but he was never the same behind that killing the guy in the ring. It bothered him that much, you know what I'm saying?
Emil Griffith?
But no, it was after Emil Griffith. It was the guy who, I think he had the plaster in his hands from, it's that old train, I forget his name. Jamaican guy, opposed to guy banned for like life from sporty. I forget his name. But anyway, yeah, I forgot now.
No, it's all good. But that's my thing, man. Like, just when you hear somebody say they want to kill somebody in the ring, it don't really mean that they're gonna kill them, because like we saying, and like I've heard Andre Ward say this most recently. I've heard a lot of fighters say this. They go in that with that mentality because they see that their opponent is trying to take food off of their table. He's trying to, you know, make it so his family can't eat. You know what I mean? That's how they see it. You know, they trying to stop their shine. So they have to come in there with that war mentality, you know? Come on, you know, we live in a country that we go to war the minute, you know, somebody says something, you know what I mean? So like, this ain't nothing people should be soft on.
Exactly. That's my thing though. That's common sense. Why, if you are a fighter, why wouldn't you have a killer instinct? I mean, I don't know what fights you've been in and the person wasn't trying to hurt me I mean, come on, that's a no brainer. You know what I mean? It's part of the game, man. You know, you have to have it.
Yeah, you pay to see blood, but then you get mad when you don't. You see some dancing, that's what you want to call it. But when you got a fighter in there that says these words that he wants a body on his record, you take it to heart. You know, you take it to heart. And to me, before I forget too, I wanted to say that it all comes down to who's saying it too. Let Conor McGregor say it. Like you said, let AJ say it, and they're like, oh, this guy's a killer. I'm ready to see him kill Wilder. You know what I mean? They're going to be ready to see Wilder get killed in there. You know what I mean? But, like, when Wilder says something like that, it's like all radars go up. You know, we about to investigate him, you know? But, like I said, right. You can't take that shit to heart, man. Like I said, when I watched the interview, to me, the way he said it was just so, you know, just natural, like a fighter should think, you know? And there was nothing negative about the interview. You know, like we said, I've heard other fighters. Aran Barkley said he gonna kill James Toney. After that, you know, they cool. You know, James Toney beat him, but you know, they were cool after that. It's just words, man.
Yeah, it's just words. And like I say, people don't understand, you know, may not understand what's going on. I mean, you got a guy, AJ, who's, you know, playing this strategic game not to fight this guy. So Wilder got to play a strategic game. You know, that's why he's on the platforms. That's why he was in New York. He's doing the Breakfast Club. He did Deuces Miro, you know, because he's trying to smoke this guy out. And you know what I mean? He wants the world to get behind demanding this fight. And then, you know, it'll be two things. It'll be AJ, if you don't do this, you're a coward. The whole world is on you. America, the UK, we want to fight. We want to see. You know, he's trying to rally the troops in my eyes, Ant, because he can't make the fight alone. The fans have to say, AJ, we don't want to see nothing else but this fight. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Can he do that? I don't know. I don't know if that can happen, but, you know, I'm just thinking that it's really the route that he got to take. I mean, he don't really have a choice, you know? The ball is in AJ court.
You know, interesting part to that, though, Wilder said, you know, he feel like he don't really need AJ. You know, I guess he wants to fight, but towards the end of the interview, he was kind of like, you know, I don't need him, you know? especially if he's not going to come over here. He kind of felt to the point like, hey, I don't really need him. Which, you know, to be a superstar, he kind of does or try to go that path. But as far as him just being good and just being the champion he is, he don't really need him. You know what I mean?
I mean, he don't need him at like on a personal level. But the world, if AJ sticks around, you know, the world will never really let him live that down that he didn't face. You know, it won't be his fault. You know, but this is a fight that is going to haunt them if it don't happen. That you know AJ
more so, right?
Because he'll be let down that it didn't happen. You know, it's not going to be his fault that it don't happen. But I'm sure he's going to be, you know, because this is definitely a name that would have looked real good on his resume. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And it's a fight that in this era right now, and it's one of the biggest fight we want to see as far as, well, heavyweight anyway. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we've been, like I say, Ant, people think the casual fans just know about this fight right now. Like I say, we've been watching them years ago. Oh, this is a gold medal Olympian. This is a bronze medal. We knew that these paths might wind up crossing eventually at some point. So we've been watching their careers years before today and anticipating this fight. So,
yeah.
I mean, when you look at it through those eyes, and it's different than the people who, oh, I seen AJ, chicks just know about him now, or they people just talking about it now. We've been watching this and saying that, yeah, at some point they got to cross each other because this is a fight that has to be made. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it was just destiny.
Yeah,
on a level of
just hardcore fans.
It's a fight that
me and you understand.
It has to happen.
You know, I mean, it's starting to really start to look like the Riddick Bowe and Lennox Lewis debacle, and people should have learned for that. You know how many people were like that just didn't sit right that they never got to see that. You know, fans were butthurt. Everybody wanted to see that fight and it never got to happen. This is lining up to be the same type of shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was a fight that
Everybody did. Because now it fucking sucks because we never know where they stand with each other. You know, we know Lennox was the man. Riddick Bowe was the man. But what would have happened? Who was the man between the both of them, though? You know, or who was the bigger man between them two? You know what I'm saying? Who was the real big daddy? You know?
Imagine we had podcasts back then. How we have been? How we have been?
Probably would have made the fight happen.
Hey, you crazy? Probably. For real.
Okay, so Mike Amazing on Instagram and he would be how the AJ fight would play out at this. I'm guessing you mean how do you think it'll play out? I mean, I see Wilder winning the fight, don't you? After seeing Joseph Parker's his performance against AJ, I think that I won't say it's going to be easy because, you know, styles make fights. But I think that I see Wilder being the winner of the fight. What about you?
Who, me, Ant?
Yeah.
I see it's even easier work now because I see the mental battle was already kind of won. You know, it's some intimidation there in AJ by Wilder. So, I mean, I think it's, you know, like you say, he's anticipating his right hand more than Wilder anticipating landing it on him. You know what I'm saying? And I think that's just going to definitely play into him folding on top of him being just comfortable. And I mean, he's going to take some punishment and he's going to say, do I really need this shit? And he don't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I don't see that dog in him like that. And, you know, I mean, a couple rounds, he takes some of that power. He's going to start really rethinking, is this something he want to continue to do for a living?
Yeah. Yeah, you know? Like I was telling you earlier, he might not have the full adrenaline pumping. He gonna just fold whatever something.
Because of the mental battle, man. That's what I'm saying. Battle. He already, you know, where really Wilder should be worried. I mean, you got this big hulking figure that you got to get in there. He ain't worried. He like, yo, I'm confident. I'm gonna smoke him. It's nothing.
Right
now, Now, whether he's inside might be worried, he's still personifying, you know, that confidence. You know, he's exuding that confidence that we did that we you need to do. You know, AJ letting us know that he like, I don't know about this fight. Shit kind of dangerous.
He like, what you think, Eddie? You know, Eddie gonna be like, hell no, don't take that fight, you know.
Mate, you don't need it. We're gonna go get a couple of wallabies and all of the night, mate.
Oh, yeah, he's not Australian, man. Anything else you want to say in closing, man?
Yeah, I want to give a couple shout outs, man. I wanted to give a shout out to you know, Donnie Marshall, you know. I want to give a shout out to Remy, you know, owner of Jawbreaker Boxing. And
I meant to ask you about that. You know, we opened. I was going to ask you because you went to a little meet and greet.
Yeah,
8 p.m. meet and greet last Saturday. How'd that go, man?
It was pretty cool. Chrissy Martin, you know, meet and greet. I popped in on the Humble Ant. It was all love. It was a good experience. You know, everybody was down to earth, humble. Mm-hmm. So that you know, I was waiting for you to bring that in earlier so we could do how we normally do, but we did a little bit different today, but it's all good. But it was good stuff, man. Like I say, the best way to describe it, it was kind of like a family thing. You know what I mean? The best way I can describe it too is like, it's just always good to be around people who like talking about boxing. I mean, that's just it in a nutshell. And that's where I was at Saturday night. You know what I'm saying? So, it was good stuff, but
that's a cool part. Like, you know, sometimes we always have to get around people, try to get them to understand it. Some people like who is who, but I just want to fall in with some people that already know it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a good feeling. Exactly, that's a good feeling. You know, you don't mind educating somebody who really want to know, but I don't feel like explaining the whole heavyweight division to somebody who could give a shit less. You know what I'm saying? So, it was good to catch that wave and just chill with some people who love what I love. Mm-hmm. You know, shout out to Eric Thompson too, before I forget, man, another cool guy I met that night or whatever, boxing writer. So it was a good time, man. Sucks that you had to work, and you should have been there with me, but you know, the grind don't stop, you know?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I understand that, man. It was still being represented, you know. Yeah. What's that shirt say that you wearing that everybody saw? You got a shirt.
Before I forget too, and shout out to Mike Williams Senior, shout out to him. He was at the meet and greet too, him and his dad. They cool, definitely cool people. So yeah, big shout out to them too. He making his pro debut on the 26th, I believe, on that card too.
I actually just pulled that up. I was just gonna say that the cards that we go to Thursday night card, April 26th. Of course, we're going to be there. It's at the Durham Armory, 220 Foster Street, Durham. And, you know, here's all the fighters on the card. We got the Joe Jackson. We've seen him fight. Of course, our man, Anthony Sonier. Shout out to him. Kelvin King. Of course, Donnie Marshall. Like you said, Michael Williams and Marco Bailey. You know, they all going to be on that card. So, yeah, man, I'm looking forward to it. It's been a year since we've been to that other one that was
there. Yeah, definitely. Just definitely like good stuff for us. You know, maybe just like being in the atmosphere, watching some entertaining fights. And I'm glad you announced the Ant, because I'm tired of people asking me, Pete, let me know the next fight. Let me know. Okay, y'all heard it on here. You know,
next time they ask you,
and they never go. Or never, you know, so boom, there you go.
Yeah, that's it right there. So, if you want some tickets, you just got to call 704-309-1777. But anything else you want to say?
No, that's it, man.
Yeah, man, like I always say, make sure you follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Subscribe to us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Before we sign out, just let you know my name is Ant.
It's your boy, Pete.
And like I said, we always talk all boxing and everything right there. You know?
No.
All right, peace.
Later.